Welcome back to Today. Now, researchers at the University of British Columbia have shown for the first time a link between two types of heart problems and one of the most commonly prescribed classes of antibiotics. Now, the type of antibiotic class in question here is fluoroquinolone, and it's a popular choice amongst doctors, even here in South Africa as well. And they use that over other antibiotics. Why? Because of their broad spectrum of antibacterial activity and also the high oral absorption, which is an effective intravenous or IV treatment, for example. Now, the researchers, however, published their findings last week in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology. They said that there's a greater risk for patients of a number of heart problems compared to if they took a different type of antibiotic. To tell you more about this, joining you from Vancouver, we are joined by Professor Maya Etmanan. Thank you very much, Associate Professor of Ophthalmology and Visual Sciences in the Faculty of Medicine at the University of British Columbia, at least. So, Professor Etmanan, thank you very much for your time this morning. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Now, let's talk about the class of antibiotics, fluoroquinolone. I'm sure I got that right, even though I didn't go to medical school. You know, when we talk about a class, do we know, are there a handful of antibiotics that fall under this? Is it a whole bouquet of specific antibiotics?
So there are mainly three commonly prescribed antibiotics that fall under this class. And they are ciprofloxacin, better known as Cipro, levofloxacin, and moxifloxacin. So these are the three big individual drugs that fall within this class.
And just tell us again, how widely used is this antibiotic in question? Now, I mean, how long's a piece of string? So I would imagine let's talk about the United States and some of the bigger markets out there.
Yeah, so they're pretty highly prescribed worldwide. I know the numbers in North America. So in the United States, it's estimated that about 30 million prescriptions are dispensed every year. And in Canada, probably about 1 million. So quite heavily prescribed.
So I've alluded to this earlier, but why is it so heavily described? Because I read something that was written, and I'm still trying to make sense of it. So what is it about this class of antibiotics that makes it as popular as it is?
So there are mainly two reasons. One is that they, especially the newer agents, they cover a wide array of pathogenic bacteria, which means that they pretty much can be used for any type of infection. And then the second reason is that, again, the newer agents are 100% absorbed orally, which means that the taking one tablet would be equal to receiving the same medicine as an IV in a hospital. So physicians would just send patients with one tablet home rather than sending them to the hospital, again, making them very convenient.
Now, I want to get down to why this has been flagged, because there is that link between this class of antibiotics and certain types of heart problems. There are other issues that we'll talk about as well, but I want to chat about the cardiac side of things first. What exactly is the link, or are the links here?
So we've known from previous studies that they could also cause cardiac arrhythmias, and also the U.S. Food and Drug Administration alerted physicians last year about a possible link with this class of antibiotics and aortic aneurysm, which basically means the ballooning of the big aorta, which can rupture and lead to death. So that has been already added as an alert by the FDA. Mm-hmm. And this third side effect that we looked at is relatively new. We are the first group to have published on it. So I would, I can say that there are three main cardiac related risks that we know of with this class of antibiotics as of today.
So if you have a history of cardiac problems in your family, if you yourself have had or currently have cardiac issues, then you need to be very careful about this.
Correct. Unless absolutely necessary, where, you know, the benefits of a certain situation would outweigh the risk, that patient should probably not be prescribed these medications.
So my challenge is, and we've spoken about this before, doctors tend to go to antibiotics as the go-to medicine. We had a professor on our show probably, well, this is while I was still doing the breakfast show, just under a year ago, saying that it's crazy if you look at the rate at which doctors actually prescribe antibiotics for illnesses that don't need it at all. Would you agree that there is a level of overprescription of antibiotics in general?
I do. Most community-acquired infections, especially those that are respiratory related to, say, the common cold, do not require antibiotics, and they are, viral infections, which antibiotics should not be given. But unfortunately, there is a rise of oral antibiotic prescriptions. Again, I'm more familiar with the North American data.
Sure. I mean, our context was South African, so I think it links very closely to what you're saying.
Right. And a lot of the times also what research has found is that patients also may be demanding of their physicians to prescribe something when they go, you know, when they present sick with a cold or, again, some sort of a respiratory condition. And sometimes that could be a bit of a difficult situation for the physician wanting to satisfy their patients and prescribe an antibiotic. But in reality, in many cases, they are not really necessary.
Now, if one talks about this class of antibiotics that we're dealing with today, it's more than just, you know, issues of the heart. I remember, I think it was Carte Blanche here in South Africa, talking about, you know, the retinal or the ocular side of things. There's also the Achilles and some other side effects as well. So things like ocular retinal detachment surely is also linked to this class of antibiotics.
Right. So retinal detachment, tendon rupture, so tearing off of large tendons, say in the shoulders and in the arms, have been reported. And also another side effect that's, again, has an FDA warning on it is peripheral neuropathy, which is basically a tingling sensation in the legs or in the hands that has also been linked to these drugs.
Okay, so is there, I mean, any doctor that prescribes antibiotics, because these sound really serious, and we'll talk about, you know, what percentage of let's even talk about the United States and extrapolate that to South Africa. We can talk about the percentage of people that will actually react to this. But even if it's a minuscule percentage, surely doctors should warn people very clearly about the side effects, but it doesn't seem to happen.
Yes, I mean, of course, those side effects should be conveyed to the patients. Sometimes doctors are just busy. They don't, you know, keep up with all these alerts that could be added to the labels of these drugs, say by the FDA. And that would be a challenge. But certainly, you know, we've been trying, quite a bit in British Columbia, are linking with a group of physicians and antibiotic stewardship groups to educate physicians on proper prescribing of at least fluoroquinolones and telling them about the risks and benefits in terms of when they should be prescribed and also the potential risks that could be associated with them.
Now, I was particularly, we talk about these fluoroquinolones, the class of antibiotics, and I was given ciprofloxacin, I think it is. I'm almost 98% sure that it was exactly that one. And my eye started swelling quite badly. Was that also seen to be something that could be associated with this?
So there are certainly case reports of vision disturbances reported to the FDA. Mm. But in terms of robust, you know, well-designed studies,
yeah.
The only one that I have been involved in, and also others as well, is retinal detachment.
Okay, so if you take one dose, one tablet, how predisposed are you potentially to those side effects as opposed to taking, you know, a 5-day course of it?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's very difficult to predict who would experience a side effect with one dose versus somebody who might experience it with, say, a 7-day course, or even somebody who may never experience it. That's something that, unfortunately, we can't predict today, but maybe in the future with, you know, advance of personalized medicine, that could be something that could be possible to do in the future.
But there have been cases where people who've just taken one tablet have presented with the side effects.
Right. There have been cases where somebody took one pill and they went about, you know, gardening or playing tennis and noticed a very intense pain in their shoulder, and later found out that their shoulder was, you know, had been detached from the tendon. So, yes, certainly there have been adverse events reported with even one dose.
Okay, so and I don't want to get people, you know, running for shelter right now because it's, you know, a minuscule amount. But as I always say, even if it's one or two people, it's one or two human beings attached to families. But if you think about it, if you think about, you know, a rupturing Achilles, if you think about retinal detachment, if you think about the cardiac effects, and you think about the people who can potentially, albeit quite a minuscule amount, doctors need to be responsible, surely. And I don't think it's an excuse, Professor, and I'm not saying you're making an excuse for them to say, we're busy, because I'm paying you, I'm sitting in front of you. You need to know what you're prescribing me. If you're not keeping up to date with the latest and you don't tell me and something happens, then surely I can even sue you, especially if you're in the United States, but also in South Africa. So doctors need to be more careful, you know, when it comes to relating some of the issues about these drugs.
I agree. And, I mean, that could be conveyed to the patient in a fashion that may not be very alarming.
Yeah.
But just even in simple words that, you know, if you feel differently, if you feel any sort of different sensation or pain, you know, call me up or call your pharmacist. I think even in that regard, it would be something that would be useful for patients to kind of keep in the back of their head in terms of if something happens, then they would know potentially it could be because of that drug.
And I must tell you, when I went back to my doctor on one of these, he said, oh, no, man, don't worry about it, he said. He says, we prescribe this every day, and we've had nobody coming back. You probably, you know, the first case that came back. No real interest as to what happened to the eye, but said, oh, no, it never, ever happens. So they seem to be quite nonchalant about it. So when you talk about educating not industries, but doctors, you know, and outside of the United States, let's say in South Africa, for example, how do you go about doing that? Or do you expect it to flow from, you know, the U.S. through to other countries? Not sure how that works.
Again, so I can tell you what we've done in British Columbia or what's been done in the United States is just pharmacists, going door to physicians, educating them about this, you know, the new studies, the risks that we've learned about these medications, you know, through even social media or other, you know, internet-based sort of educational groups. Now, physicians do get these results or summaries of these studies. You know, when the FDA now alerts on a drug side effects, it's kind of much more popularized now than, say, 10 years ago. So we're hoping that all of these attempts together could hopefully, you know, drive the message a bit more further than it has in the past. Yeah.
And once again, without sowing, you know, widespread fear, chances of you getting it is minimal. But, you know, if you have a condition, heart conditions, for example, that could predispose you to it, you need to be a little bit more careful than other people. And I think a final question that's just come through here is, once you've taken the dose, whether it's one tablet or five tablets, and you present with the side effects, is this something that stays in your system for a long time, or does your system work out whatever it is causing this?
So again, that's a very good question, but unfortunately, it's hard to predict who would recover and who would not. I've been aware of patients who unfortunately have experienced irreversible side effects.
Oh, wow.
From, you know, taking a few tablets of these drugs. And again, that's something that we can't identify which patients would recover and which patients can just go about their lives without any permanent sort of damage. And again, that's why prevention, I believe, is probably the best strategy to, first of all, see whether a patient does need these drugs to begin with. And if they do, perhaps minimize the dose for the least duration of therapy to kind of minimize the toxicity level if there would be any potential side effects.
Professor Maya Atmanan, thank you so much for your time today. I'm going to open it up to you listening to the show this morning. If you're a doctor and you prescribe antibiotics, if, you know, ciprofloxacin, for example, is one of the antibiotics that you prescribe, do you warn people about it? If you've received antibiotics from doctors, do they tell you whether or not there are side effects? It's something that could potentially be serious. It could. And if you're a doctor and if you want to talk about the fluoroquinolone class of antibiotics that you prescribe as well, I'd like to know, do you prescribe that more than anything else in your arsenal? Those lines are open on 021-446-0567. WhatsApp, you can send those voice notes or messages on 072-567-1567. Once again, thank you to Professor Maya Atmanan, who is an Associate Professor of Ophthalmology and Visual Science in the Faculty of Medicine.